Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the Gospel according to Mark. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. Many gathered round. There was no room for them, not even in the front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier? To say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk.' But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We have another healing story from the Gospel according to Mark. We are only in the second chapter, and we have had many healing stories. It is a story about tenacity, about faith. It's a story about healing. It is a story about Jesus' authority to forgive. In fact, it's the forgiveness that is the central question to the scribes that were present. "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" they said. Another way of saying that might be, how can this man forgive sins outside the temple? The priests are needed. The law is needed. The story is also about the relationship between sickness and sin. It invites us to ponder all things about the body. It invites us to ponder our assumptions and judgments about our bodies and others. Jesus asks those around him, "Which is easier? Your sins are forgiven," to say that, or just to say, "Stand up, take that mat, and walk home." For us in our culture today, I don't know how we would even answer that question, for we don't live with the same assumptions that were present in Jesus' times about sin and sickness. We have been having our Claiming the Promise Bible classes, and many of us are discussing many things, but we are discussing the body as part of God's creation. And recently, at the end of the evening, someone asked the question, "When did the church get so hung up on sexuality?" Now, the pastor loves those questions. The question is a good one. But today's text tells us that it's all things that have to do with the body that are our question for us. The body was believed by Greek philosophers and Gnostics and Egyptian mystics to be negative. The body was a burden. The body kept the soul from taking flight to higher realities. Body was material, therefore it was bad, weak, and sinful. And soul was spirit, and so soul was good. It was divine. And they were always in battle with each other. Two realities, one good, one evil, one spiritual, one physical, one mortal, and one eternal. Plato thought that the body was evil because it blocked the soul's view of eternal truth. And much of this has made its way into Christian theology. Those of us in Christianity have also inherited how we think about sin from the Hebrew Scriptures. We might not know this, but in the Old Testament, in Exodus, we read, "I am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me." In the Gospel of John, the disciples and Jesus see a blind man who has been blind from birth, and the disciples say to Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus says, "Neither." I know that we reject intellectually the idea that people's conditions are a punishment for something that their parents did or their grandparents did. And over the last 20 and 30 years, we've examined the connection of the mind and body and spirit, and we have a much better understanding of our holistic natures and that the body is a good gift from God. But if we were honest with ourselves, have we ever thought, "Well, you know, he made bad choices and now he's suffering for it," or "Her mistakes are catching up with her," or "They made their bed, now they need to lie in it"? I mean, people around us who live in ways that might make us uncomfortable. Is that the punishment for their sins? Jesus asks, which is easier, to forgive or to heal? And then he puts the two of them together, leading us today to many questions. Is the paralytic a sinner, someone who has forsaken God or his God-given capacity to work the land? Or is he a reflection of a social system that offers him nothing for his misery but judgment? Is the young American woman with an eating disorder a sinner, an individual who simply chooses to abuse her God-given body? Or is she the reflection of a society that celebrates a distorted female image and spends billions trying to achieve it? We can ask ourselves the same questions, and we have, some of us, in our minds about people with HIV and AIDS, people who've contracted cancer, or people who have addictions, people who are criminals who we know their mothers had alcohol in their systems the whole time they were in the womb, and disabled persons, and people who struggle with mental illness, and people whose bodies feel foreign to them because they are transgendered. Whether in the first century or today, the interconnected relationship between sin and sickness, between the individual and the society, between religion and politics are very complex. Very, very complex. And that complexity should give us all pause when we try to answer Jesus' question, which is easier? See, in declaring forgiveness, Jesus first restores the paralytic's relationship with God, disputing all those around him that sin had caused this paralysis. And then he restores the man to his community, which, if you read the Gospels, this is Jesus' main goal for everyone, is to be restored to God and to be restored to community. This story emphasizes the connection among faith, forgiveness, and healing. Reb Zalman said, "The body is the instrument upon which the soul plays life for God." Our bodies are a good gift from God. But without realizing it, we make judgments about others, about how their instruments are working or not, and when they are broken. There are many people in the world whose bodies do not feel like an instrument that is playing a song for God. They feel disconnected from that song of life, and their instruments are foreign and failing them. And I know that we too suffer our own disconnect from the goodness of our bodies. We struggle ourselves with the mind-body-spirit connection, God's good and gracious gift to us. Like the paralytic, don't we feel paralyzed, stuck, imprisoned in our body? We hear of a little child who now has leukemia. We know of people who have cancer, who struggle with depression and addiction, people who do not feel loved, people who are lonely, people who are frustrated and disconnected from the rest of their community. This happens to all of us at some times in our lives. Don't we crave the grace of acceptance and physical restoration? We all need four friends that are willing to take the roof off a house to bring us to healing and forgiveness. We are all in need of God's grace to make us whole. And we need to be the friends. We are called to be the friends that do not judge, do not assume that anyone's ills are a punishment, a sin, but will put aside all the judgment and find out what the other person needs from us to be healed and do whatever we can to bring them to that healing. In the story, Jesus says, because your faith is so strong, to the four friends, son, your sins are forgiven. We all need to be somebody's four friends. We all need four friends who understand us so completely, who do not judge us, but who would remove a roof to bring us to God and to healing. Which is easier? For Christ forgiving the paralytic restored him in the eyes of the community, because they were the ones who assumed he had sinned. Can we accept that same kind of healing of body, mind, and spirit from Christ when other people show it to us? And can we offer a non-judgmental love and forgiveness in Jesus' name? Many years ago, the church split us apart, and we have been paying the price ever since. It is the church that needs to be an instrument of healing for all the ills of society. When the church, the body of Christ, us, remember Christ, we should remember that Jesus was a revolutionary force, that becoming Christ for the world, he crossed every boundary and broke down every barrier. We are called to remember that his life was a reconciliation for all people to God. And all means all. And not just all of us, but every part of us, body, mind, and spirit, that are one in God and in Christ Jesus. Amen.